Welcome to the John Maxwell Executive Leadership Podcast, where our goal is to help you increase your reputation as a leader, increase your ability to influence others, and increase your ability to fully engage your team to drive remarkable results. Hi, I'm Perry Holly, a John Maxwell facilitator and coach.
And I'm Chris Cody, the Vice President, John Maxwell Company. Welcome and thank you for joining. Just as a reminder, if you would like to learn more about the five levels of leadership, or perhaps even bring a five levels workshop to your organization, please visit us at johnmaxwellcompany.com/podcast while you're there. If you have a question or a comment for us, please feel free to leave that on the site as well. Which brings me to today's topic. This is actually a question that was submitted to Perry, and I think this is a relevant discussion because I think all of us deal with this. And here's the topic for today. Who makes the decisions around here? How many times have we been sitting in a meeting, maybe a closed-door office, or maybe you're just sitting in your office by yourself or a cubicle, and you just start thinking, who makes the decisions around here? I love this topic, and I can't wait to dive into this content.
Yeah, so the question that was presented actually told me a little story about the business seems to slow down at times because people on my team have to wait for me to come make a decision before they can proceed. Is this a common problem that you see? And I said, well, so the question is really about moving decision-making closer to where the action is and away from, we'll call it central command, or as I've heard it somewhere else I was reading, it says it's like moving the locus of control. There's a statement you don't hear much
locus
anymore.
Locus of control. So I think the first thing we got to do is, because when I saw that, I was like, what in the world's he even talking about, right? So I was like, all right, what is locus? Yeah. So locus is Latin for place or location. Okay. And it's funny because when you said that, I've heard other leaders say before, like, if the decision making gets two or three levels away from what is actually going on, oftentimes the decision that's made is irrelevant to really what's going on in the field. Mm-hmm. And then the decision gets back down to the field, and the field's like, okay, Chris has no earthly idea what's going on out here, and that is completely the wrong decision. And so as a leader, you are most likely the locus of control for the decisions that are made day in and day out on your business. And that may or may not be correct. You may be the bottleneck. Mm-hmm. And everyone else knows it, except for you. So the question is, can you or should you even move the decision-making to others on your team or in the organization? And I think that's a great question that comes back to even just this comment that kind of spurred our conversation today.
Well, I was thinking about it, and I thought how my parents did it with me. Mm-hmm. Now, for all those years growing up, they were the command central. They were the locus of control. They made all the decisions. They told me what I was going to do. Until as my teenage years, as I'm reflecting back, looking, they started to ask me what I thought, and they started to do some things. I was actually on went with some buddies up to visit another buddy in another state, took my, I don't even tell you what kind of car it was, but it shouldn't have been on the highway, and it broke down. And I immediately, well, I don't know what to do, so I call my dad. I say, Dad, what do I do? He goes, what do you think you should do? And went through this whole process. And then I was floored. He said, well, good luck. And call me when you make a decision. Let me know what you did and how it worked out. Click. I'm doing this. So
they call that adulting.
What? Yeah. As my parents knew, you can't just throw the locus of control over the wall to somebody one day and say, good luck. You need to be intentionally developing them over time to make wise and well-informed decisions. And I know that they were doing that as I reflected back. That wasn't the first time. They had been working that out in me over time. But now it was the sink or swim time. Make your decision and let me know how it works out.
Well, I think when you talk about it was building up to that, it just really underlines the fact that it is a process. So we're going to begin talking about how do you empower your team to make decisions that are closest to the decision. And so I think you need to understand that it is a process. You cannot just turn the switch on or off. And it's going to come with some trust. It's going to come with some decisions that maybe you wouldn't have made but aren't wrong. And so it's going to be a process. And then this is just part of developing your team. You cannot be the center of all attention, like, and all decision making. If you do, you will not move at the speed of which your organization needs to move. John talks a lot about now, man, fast is faster than it's ever been. And if that is true, and it is, especially with technology, we need to make sure that we are empowering others, and it's a process to get there, and we need to understand that. So another question around this that I've heard asked is, okay, so do I delegate it to them? Just flat out delegate? And is it really delegating it to them, or do I need to train them in order to be able to make the decisions?
Right. It's a little bit of both in my mind, but we talk about the five levels of leadership. I see this a little bit of level three, a lot level four.
Yeah.
Developing people, developing the skills, their leadership abilities in them. It requires some intentional effort by you, the leader. You know, the question I think, do I want everyone on my team making decisions? Of course, that would be optimal. Will everyone be able, meaning have the skill and my trust to make those decisions? Probably not. So I'm going to have to discern who those are and how do I get there.
Yeah.
In fact, I kind of look at a five-step approach on my get my thinking, get people thinking about making decisions. Before I share these, I wanted to ask you though, what have you seen? Why leaders don't do this? This seems like natural to me. Like I get it away from me. That you said I don't want to be the bottleneck, but yeah. Why don't I do that?
Yeah. First. I love the fact that we have five steps of everything on your podcast.
I'm
because
a five-step
what
guy.
We're doing is we're subliminally, putting the five levels of leadership into everybody's mind. So I am grateful because I'm passionate about that.
Well, I think it's supposed to be three is the number, but our listeners are so advanced. I just said five.
That's right. It's funny. This is a personal story. I sit on a board here in the Atlanta area, and I was in a two-hour board meeting yesterday with this organization, and we brought somebody that is in the field that is actively doing the work and that the board supports and kind of gave a testimony. And it was interesting because you're sitting here talking about it, and it made me think specifically yesterday of a meeting where or of a story where he was talking about the only way to really grow what he is doing in the field was by relinquishing control and decision making. And he made a comment that I thought was very interesting. He said, "You know, I had to give up credit for making a decision like that. Like I didn't get to, I had to be very comfortable knowing that my team that is one level removed even from me was the one responsible for making that decision for doing X, Y, or Z." And I thought, man, isn't that so true? Like that's just one of the reasons. Sometimes our pride gets in the way of we want to be the one to make the decision. And a lot of times leaders, when it's the right decision, you're raising your hand. And when it's not, maybe you're not, right? And so I would encourage you to think about, man, where is your pride when it comes to that? Some other ones is that we don't want to lose control. We have fear of the decision that the team member could be making. There's insecurities I talked about. We have a scarcity mindset, not an abundance mindset. And then the last thing that I was thinking about here was lack of trust. Mm-hmm. And we do have to get to a place to where we trust our team to do that. And we have to, man, we have to give away trust and then let them keep that trust unless they do something or make a decision where we start pulling back from it. So there are lots of reasons. Yeah. Matter of fact, I probably need more counseling on allowing some people to make additional decisions in my world. So I am responsible and I want to make the decisions, right? As I was talking about. And so does that still make me responsible, or does that make me accountable to the decision? What does that look like, and how do you initiate that process of allowing them to be responsible, but I'm still accountable? Let's talk a little bit about that process and decision.
Well, and I think that's interesting two words there, is that I definitely want other people to be responsible. I can delegate the responsibility, but in the end, I'm the leader. I'm accountable.
Right.
So you may be responsible for the decision, but I'm accountable for the outcome. And so I want to raised my level of commitment to intentional effort to make sure you're making good decisions, because it's going to come back on me as the leader. But I want the locus of control to move out to you, so we move quicker.
And don't micromanage it.
Right. That's where the trust comes in.
Yeah,
I'm going to give you these five. These are not you do them one at a time. This is kind of one conversation that I have with someone when I know that a decision needs to be made. I kind of keep it in the flow. I don't make it real formal, but in back of my mind, I kind of walk through these. I'll give them to you in the kind of a conversational style, and you tell me how you see this. But if a decision needs to be made by someone on my team, or could be made by someone other than me,
yep.
I invite them in, and I'll start with, What is their point of view? What do you think? I'll give them to you real fast. What do you think? What are the options? What are the risks? What are the benefits? What will you do? And so I'm just thinking through, I want to hear, do they have a point of view? Do they have they thought about this? Do they have you know, an idea of what possibilities are? You can kind of get the gist on there. But I wonder if, you know, when I give it to you as a whole like that, how does that grab you?
Yeah, I love these questions. And we're really giving our listeners a process, a model of how to walk through understanding how your team thinks, helping them have a conversation, helping them get to the point to where they are making decisions. So absolutely love all five of these and have used some of them in some of my team conversations when we talk about getting them to make a decision. It almost goes back to, I've shared this before, it's probably been a while, where John says, leaders, listen to me. If one of your team members can do something as good as you can 85% of the time, let's make this about decision making. Go ahead and let them do it, because over time, they're going to continue to make better decisions. They're probably going to make more decisions. And then, you know, he talks a lot about leaders. Now, hold on. They're probably going to end up doing what you were doing or making the decisions that you were making better than you are. And so we need to kind of relinquish that control. And this gives us a great model and a process to begin that conversation with our team.
Right. So question one, I love this about, so what do you think? Because I really want to know, do they think? And are right. they, have they been thinking about it? Right. What I'll find a lot of times is, and I've shared it before, where I kind of got in trouble, this leader asked me, Perry, what do you think? What's your point of view? And I said, I think what you think. What do you think? And he offered me to leave the organization.
I share that often.
If we have the same thought, then maybe I'm not necessary. But I really want to know, are they thinking about this as a leader? And this is a great, if they're not thinking about it, then there's no need to go to the next question.
Yeah, no, I love that. Because what you're doing is, in this, you're beginning to understand, do they have a clear point of view and on the situation and even what's happening? Leaders, you need to remember, you have exposure, you have intel that not your team doesn't have. And so at times you got to understand when they give you their point of view, they may be missing a big picture. It's not their fault. Maybe it's time for you to kind of bring them in the loop on that certain situation. It's the price of leadership. But this point of view really kind of gets you to understand, once they verbalize it to you, do they understand the situation? Do they know what's happening? And would this lead them to making a quality decision that they need to make?
Questions two, three, and four really is a business school classroom experience when you start to see how they answer this. But what are the options? So if you've got a point of view that you think we should do something, but what are the options? What are the risks? And what are the benefits? Opens up, you get a myriad of discussions here.
Yeah, this is really kind of business acumen of the situation. Some would say the competence, not necessarily the right word, but I do like business acumen of the situation and what's going on. And really what you're trying to find out is, do they understand the implications of the decisions that they're going to make? Like, because of the fact that, again, you have a longer lens than they do, you're exposed to other things, you're going to see things a little bit different. But what is their lens, and do they understand the implications? And are they thinking fully through the options and the implications, or are they just not clear on what could happen? I think too, you made a comment just a minute ago. Do they even think, right? Like, how they think, what's the process? What are they, you can see them going through it in their mind. And then it allows you also, what I love about this is it allows you to have some level four development time, because as they talk through this process for you, you can then ask some additional questions, or, hey, what do you think about this? Or, hey, this might be the situation. And it becomes an organic development time, not training, a development time with your team. And it happens to be towards making decisions.
Sure, sure. And then the fifth one is decision time. So what will you do? And I think the questions as a leader I'm asking myself right here are, how do I want to handle it at this point? Do I like their thinking, their acumen, what they put in there? How much involvement is going to require from me? Do I want to delegate that responsibility right now and let them make that decision? Yeah. And I'm training them that you're qualified to do this? Or do I want to have some hybrid approach to, okay, that's good thinking, I'll make the decision this time, but this is the process I want to use.
Yeah, and I think oftentimes As leaders, you probably have thought through the conversation before you've had the conversation with your team, and you know what you're going to feel comfortable with when it comes to letting them make the decision. More often than not, you're not going to begin having these conversations with a decision you wouldn't be comfortable with them making anyways. So let them make the decision on this example, whatever the example might be, so that you give them a little bit of empowerment. You begin to have that development time with that. And so I like that. I'm going to add, although I like your five,
okay,
and I like that it's a number five, and I can't wait to see what the next five is. I want to add a sixth to this, which is the AAR, the after action review.
Oh yeah.
And I think at this point, we've let them make the decision, but we got to make sure, now ultimately you're still accountable, okay? And but you got to make sure that they feel a little bit of the weight of making that decision, the weight of leadership. And so it's important for you to sit down with them and review the good, the bad, the ugly of the decision that they made, so that they can grow through that process. And you got to have that conversation with them in order to make progress.
Right. I love that. And it's I think we always rush to evaluation, after action reviews of bad decisions or mistakes. Yeah. This is really important to do on a good decision and a win as well, to make sure what made it work. What did you think about the process? Where did you think you were weak? Would you do it differently? All kinds of great questions on an after action review that you could do to make it more valuable.
Yeah.
Why don't you wrap it up for us?
Well, so let me just summarize kind of this whole thing we talk about today is that we leaders, listen, we can't make progress. We can't be the lid. Here we go, the law of the lid. It's back to the simple principle that John talks about. We can't be the lid on our team's movement, development, the organization's success by being a bottleneck through decisions that we don't need to be making. I had the opportunity to sit in on a meeting with Carly Fiorina and John. And we were kind of talking about the state of leadership, and we were talking about what the problem is. And it came down to this, where John was saying, man, the state of leadership is about values, and there is a leadership deficit. And then Carly said something that I thought was very interesting. For her, how she defines leadership is problem solving, which is key, right? Leaders have to solve problems. That's what we're here to do. And problem solving takes decision making. So to bring it back to kind of what we're talking about today, we cannot be developing our team, our people, to solve problems for us if we don't allow them to make decisions. And so I say allow. We got to develop them to be able to do that. But at the same point in time, we then have to take the reins off, right? Don't micromanage. I know we're fearful. I know we want the control. Some of us want the credit for it, all those different things. But at the end of the day, if we're going to develop a team that's solving problems on their own and keeping the pace of what's going, we've got to allow them to make decisions.
Right. Well, I wanted them thinking while I was away, what would Perry do? And that's okay. We can start that mindset. And then the more comfortable I get with you and how you think and how you problem solve, then I can trust you and I can move on to other things because you're close to the action.
That's right.
Making the decision.
That's right. It's good.
Outstanding, Chris. Well, thank you. And as a reminder, if you'd like the learner's guide for this, you can download that at johnmaxwellcompany.com/podcast. You can also gain more information about the five levels of leadership or even leave us a question. We'd love to hear from you. And as always, we're very grateful for you joining us on this podcast. This has been the John Maxwell Executive Leadership Podcast.